affirm those things that make us unique and make us Christians by saying together the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. This morning I come back to finish up the third sermon in the series on what it means to be a Christian. The title of this one is The Truth About Christians. That's what we all want to hear something about, is the truth about Christians. Sometimes it doesn't feel real good when we hear the truth of what a Christian is supposed to be, compare it to what we are. So that's for each of us to look at in our own lives this morning. The last two sermons, the last two weeks that I was here, the first one, we talked about I am a Christian by, and it defined what it was that made us a Christian. I am a Christian by choice, I am a Christian by change, and I am a Christian by challenge. 2 weeks ago, on the second sermon, talked about some traits of being a Christian, that we are saints. Not saints in the sense that we are infallible and we are worshipped or anything, but saints in the sense that God has called us and set us apart for a specific task, called us to be something, to be a light to the world, to be salt, light, and to those things to the world around us. We're called to be servants, seed sowers, stewards, soldiers, and sons of daughters. Those are all some traits of being Christians. And today's passage that I want to read to you, John is sending a very firm message. This is just a short book. If you look at it, 2 John is just one chapter, not divided in chapters, just 11 or 12 verses, I think. But John is sending a very definite message to the believers that he's writing to. He's telling them that they need to be vigilant, to vigilantly guard against false teaching and to walk in the truth. Let's read that scripture, if you would. If you will join with me on the screen, or would like to read your Bibles, verses 1 through 11. The elder, to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also those who have known the truth, because of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoiced greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth, as we received commandment from the Father. And now I plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new compliment or commandment to you, but that which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. This is love, that we walk according to His commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves, that we do not lose those things we work for, but that we may receive a full reward. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask you, Lord, to open our hearts that we might see the truth of it, and that it might change us, that it might make us more like you. Help us, Lord, as we as we make this walk, may it be in your truth continually. May all that is spoken this day, Lord, be yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In that idea of walking in the truth, there's two words there I want to look at briefly. It's to walk. Walk in the truth. Walk. What does that mean? Well, first of all, walk is generally, in this sense, a verb. It means action, doesn't it? You are not a Christian by sitting. Nowhere does it say sit and be a Christian. It's a walk. It's not a rest. It's a walk. It's something that's progressive, continuous, ongoing. It is something that's done with determination. Now, you can say we went out for a Sunday afternoon walk through the park. That means you kind of just strolled along and took in the sights and looked at the children playing and you stopped over here and watched something and you went over here and did this. But this is not the kind of walk that's being talked about here in John. It is a walk of determination with a destination in mind. Not wavering from the right to the right or to the left, but in a progressive, straight line, as straight as possible. Walk means with determination to a destination. Truth. Now, truth is something that is debated. It has been debated for years, and it seems today in our society that truth has taken a real beating. People of all sorts have come up with their own truth. You know, the popular philosophy of today's world is that what may be true to Brenning and what may be true for him because of his culture and the way he was raised and the experiences that he's had may not be true to Vance because of his culture and the way he was raised now. So truth for Brenning may not be truth for Vance and vice versa. We could do that for all of us because we've all grown up differently. We all have different personalities. We've experienced things differently. So is there truth? Is there truth in the world? That's the first thing we have to ask. We have to identify what is truth. Well, I want to identify some truth by some things that aren't true, that we can say are not true. And I'll tell you a few little stories with this. The first truth is that you cannot manipulate truth. Remember that. You cannot manipulate truth. These two little brothers, they were getting ready to dye some Easter eggs, to boil some eggs so they could dye them for Easter. You remember back in the days when you boiled Easter eggs, you know, and for the plastic ones. Well, they were getting ready. They were probably Spencer and Bryce's age there. And when the older brother, you can just about see this with Bryce and Spencer there when you see them sitting there. Don't get any ideas, Bryce. You don't want to do this. But the older brother, as they were getting ready, he says to his little brother, and just say Bryce says to Spencer, he says, Spencer, I'll give you $1 if you'll let me break these three eggs on your head. Well, Spencer looks at Bryce for a minute. He says, okay. Well, Bryce takes one egg, crack, right over the top of his head, and the stuff just runs down. Takes a second egg, crack, right over the top of the head, and it runs down. Well, Spencer's sitting there with his eyes closed waiting for the third one, and nothing happens. He opens his eyes and says, when are you going to hit me with the other one? He says, I'm not. If I did, that'd cost me $1. You can't manipulate the truth, you see. You know, little brother was smart there. The big brother was smart, wasn't he? He got to crack two eggs over his brother's head and didn't have to pay a thing for it. You know, he made a promise. You know, he made an affirmation. Sure, and by the letter of the law, he didn't have to pay that because he didn't crack three eggs on his head. He only did two. But that was manipulation of the truth. Folks, you can't manipulate the truth. The truth is the truth today, tomorrow, next week, next year. It cannot be manipulated because of length of time, because of circumstance, because of culture. What was true for Moses, what was true for Isaiah, what was true for Jesus and his followers, what was true for Martin Luther, when he initiated the Reformation, what was true for John Wesley when he founded the Methodist movement, what was true for Billy Graham, and what's true for us here today, has never changed. Jesus is the truth. We cannot manipulate the truth. We can't simply say, oh, this is a modern day, a modern age. We understand science now. They didn't then. The truth is the truth is the truth. You cannot manipulate it. The second thing that the truth is not, or the truth cannot be done to, is saying something is the truth does not make it the truth, like I did with the kids there. Abraham Lincoln once was debating one of his political foes. I don't know if it was in the great debates with Douglas. I don't know if it was with him, but they were in disagreement about something. Lincoln finally said to him, says, okay, well, let's see if we can agree on something. He said, how many legs does a cow have? The guy says, of course, there's four. Lincoln says, okay, we can agree on that. Let's say that we call the cow's tail a leg. Now how many legs does he have? And his opponent says, well, he has five. Lincoln said, no, you're wrong. Says, it doesn't make any difference how many, how often, how hard, how long you call a cow's tail a leg, it's still a tail. He still has four legs. You can't change that. Folks, just by saying something is true and right and okay today does not mean it's so. You can take this into any area of our society today. You can take it to the debate over homosexuality, any sexual immoral sin, any of those things that the Bible has spoken about and said no to. You can take it, and I'm not just picking on that, I'm talking about everything. That's just one of the hot buttons of in our society today. But everything that the Bible prohibits, we cannot simply say that it's okay now and make it okay. The truth cannot be changed by simply saying it's now true. The third thing that the truth isn't is that we can't rearrange the facts to make the truth come out to what we want it to. There's this young boy who's going into high school. His dad was a very good track star when he was in high school. He wanted his son to run track, so to please his dad, he went out for the track team. He was on the track team, but he wasn't very athletic. He wasn't a very good runner. But just to please his dad, he did it. Well, he had his first race, and it was a two-man race, and he happened to be racing against the school's best sprinter. Well, needless to say, he was beaten bad by this star athlete from the track team. Well, his dad asked him that night when he came home, says, "How did your race go, son?" Well, not wanting to disappoint his dad or not wanting to be fussed at or anything, he said, "Well, Dad," he says, "I ran today against the best runner in the school. He came in next to last, and I came in second. There's only two of them running." He didn't lie. He just rearranged the story a little bit to make him fit or to make it sound better for him. Folks, we can't just pick up God's Word and just say, "I'm going to take this, and I'm going to take this, and I'm going to take this." Rearrange it, organize it, and choose whatever we want. We have to take God at His Word in entirety as He has told us. We can't. The truth is not something that we can rearrange to make it sound better. The third thing that the truth isn't. The truth is not, just because there's a partial amount of truth in something doesn't make it true. Story was told that Satan and one of his demons were walking upon the earth. They were walking along just talking, looking things over. They see a man bend down and pick something up shiny off the ground. The demon says to Satan, says, "What was that he picked up there?" Satan says, "That was a piece of the truth, a piece of truth that he picked up." The demon says, "Well, doesn't that bother you that man found a piece of truth?" He says, "No, doesn't bother me a bit. What I'll do is use it so that he can start a religion." That's the way the truth is. The best, all religions have some truth in them. All faiths that are espoused upon the face of the earth, there are some elements of truth in them. But it's not the truth. It just takes a single part. Y'all know that I was on vacation this week, and I'm not getting into my everything you ever needed to know sermon yet. That's coming later on. But if I told you this week while I was down at the beach, I'm telling you about my vacation, and I say, "You know, while I was down there at the beach, I won this free lesson to take a free flying lesson out at the airport out there at Myrtle Beach. I went down there. The man told me that I was such a natural pilot that he made me a pilot right away, and I flew a 747 into and landed it at Myrtle Beach and took off. Now, what do y'all think about that? Now, there's an element of truth in that. I was at Myrtle Beach. I did see some airplanes flying around. There's an element of truth in that. But that's not the truth. Now, if I told you that I was down there, I mean, you know, that's really easy to disbelieve because you know that's not likely to happen. But if I told you, you know, Renee and I were sitting out on the beach and this helicopter kept flying back and forth and we figured it was giving tours. Well, I went down to the airport and I told them that I'd like to take a ride on that helicopter. And so they did. And so they flew me up and down the beach a couple of times. Would you believe that? I see some of you shaking your head. Well, that's a lie too. I didn't do that. But there's enough of the truth in that. It sounds reasonable. You could believe it. Folks, it isn't the big lies. It isn't the crazy things. It isn't those kind of things that tell you to go out here and jump off of that building out there that fool you. It's those things that tell you to step off the curb onto the street here that'll fool you and get that bus that plows over you. It's the little things. It's the little things that do that. The truth that had a story that has a lie that has some truth in it does not make it true. Walking in the truth means staying in the truth. Constantly making the effort and having the destination, our destination of being and abiding in truth. Now, this is the truth about Christians. I want to hit those quickly. If you are a Christian, these are some things that you will do. If you want to look with me at verse 2, I can just read it, John. You can put them up if you have time. In verse 2, it says, "Because the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever." If you are a Christian, the truth is that you will be an expression of life. Life will exude from you. John says there, the truth will, and it will be with us forever. That's the good news of Christ and of being a Christian and of putting our faith and trust in Christ, is that it is a life everlasting through Him. The truth about Christians is that they will express life and not death. The second thing, if you are a Christian, the truth about a Christian, is that Christians encourage other believers. Verse 4, "I rejoiced greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth as we received commandment from the Father." I rejoiced that some were found walking. A true Christian will be an encouragement to other believers. We will encourage one another and not tear them down. I will not look and say, "Emily, you shouldn't do this and shouldn't do that. You're wrong for doing that." I'll say, "But you did this and that's good. Continue in this. Be built up in this." We will encourage one another and not tear each other down. Christians will also choose to obey. Verse 6. "This is love, that we walk according to His commandment. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it." Christians will choose to obey. It's not always the easy thing to do, to obey, because sometimes we have to do difficult things. Sometimes it's hard to love that person that seems to be unlovable, that's always constantly the person that gets on our last nerve. But as Christians, we choose to obey and we choose to love in spite of those things. The next thing that is the truth about Christians is that Christians persevere in the progress that they have made. Christians persevere in the progress that they have made. Verse 8. "Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things that we work for, but that we may receive a full reward." A Christian will not be constantly having to be saved over and over and over. A Christian will not be at the altar every week saying, "Lord, I'm a sinner, forgive me, preacher, baptize me." Now, you might can come down here and say, "I'm a sinner" every week, and you should. But you ain't going to get me baptizing you every week. because there ain't enough water for us all to be baptized enough to be okay. Once is enough. If you've been baptized in Christ, once is enough. Christians will not revert. You're going to fall down. You're going to stumble. You're going to make mistakes. All of us will. But we will not abandon that progress. We will not abandon that great hope and that great gift that we have in Jesus Christ. Next, Christians will exalt the doctrine of Christ. Verse 9. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. Folks, if we're Christians, the truth is that we will be lifting up and we will be living, we will be examples of the things that Christ taught. That's just the truth of it. You're going, whoever your master is, whoever your God is, whatever your God is, you will live, and your life will be an example to that. If it's money, then your whole thing is going to be to earn money, to make money, to acquire money, to have things. If your whole life, your whole being is centered around Christ, then you're going to be talking about Jesus, and you're going to be living Jesus in your daily life. You're going to be exalting the doctrines that Christ lived. The final thing that Christians, that's the truth about Christians, is that they will reject false teachers. Verse 10 and 11. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. That's kind of a hard statement there sometimes, because we're supposed to love everybody, accept everybody. But here John is saying, don't accept that person who brings in false doctrine. Now, that doesn't say that we kick people out of the church that are sinners. Because if we did, who'd be left? There wouldn't be any people for me to preach to, and there wouldn't be any preacher to preach to us. We'd all be gone. But we do not allow people into our midst, into our homes, into our hearts, into our churches that are going to preach false doctrine, that are going to tell us and lead us wrongly. And that's why you don't just listen to the preacher, whether it's me or Billy Graham or whoever. You don't just listen to the words that the preacher says and take that for the truth. You read the Bible. You pray. You study. You seek God out. And if you disagree with me on something, come talk to me about it. I may be wrong and you may be right. And if that's the case, I want to know what's right. I don't want to be teaching false things that are wrong. If I'm wrong, please show me that I'm wrong. Tell me how I'm wrong. I want to be in the right. And I want to be telling you things that are right. We do not reject the people. We do not reject the person, but we do reject their teaching, and we don't let them into our house. If you knew somebody was going to break into your house and steal everything you had, and you knew they were going to do that, you wouldn't leave your door unlocked and a welcome sign hanging out saying, come on in. Well, we shouldn't in the church either. If we know something is wrong, a teaching is wrong, someone is teaching false things, we don't want to welcome them in and say, let's listen to what they have to say. I don't want to listen to what's wrong. If I know it's wrong, how ridiculous can that be? How ridiculous and how foolhardy can we be in allowing something like that into our midst? Christians, the truth is about Christians is that they will reject false teachers. Walk in the truth. It's an effort that goes on continually. It's an action word. It means we have to be doing something. We can't sit still. This morning we're going to have communion. And I invite you to walk in the truth that is found there, in the relationship that is initiated through partaking of the elements. When Christ gave Himself so that we might be forgiven. Come this morning. All are invited. Everyone here today, if you seek a closer relationship with Jesus, you're eligible. Walk in the truth. Walk in the truth that's found in Jesus. Let's pray. Father, We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the truth. May it become real to us. May it become part of who we are. And may we not be satisfied simply to know about the truth, to hear it, but may we desire to be active in it. Lord, as we come this morning, all of us, we stand in need of Your forgiveness and Your grace. As we partake of the cup and the bread, may we be drawn closer to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.